This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Sign up, renew, or extend your Joy membership this Radiothon and you could win our major prize. Premium economy flights for two from any capital city in Australia, plus 7 nights accommodation in Los Angeles, courtesy of Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Yes, sign up, renew, or extend your Joy membership between May 1 and June 30 to be in the draw. Head to joy.org.au to sign up now or call 1300-JOY-949. Joy, 25 years proud.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track, and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Monday, the 18th of June. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Tom Morgan. Tonight on the show, we speak to Russian LGBT support group Coming Out about their World Cup LGBT safety hotline based out of St. Petersburg. The hotline provides free psychological and legal support to both residents and tourists who have experienced attacks or discrimination to help ensure the safety of LGBT people in St. Petersburg during the World Cup. We also continue last week's discussion with Professor Martin Holt about his paper, Community Level Changes in Condom Use and Uptake of HIV Pre-Exposure Prophylaxis by Gay and Bisexual Men in Melbourne and Sydney, and find out more about the bigger picture of men's sexual health and safety.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
As you may know, this year's FIFA World Cup is being held in Russia, a country that in recent years has made headlines for its move back towards conservatism and away from individual human rights, specifically for the LGBTI community. While homosexuality and the official change of gender following sex reassignment surgery are legal in the country, no anti-discrimination or protection of gender identity laws exist for LGBTI people. And most recently, gay propaganda laws, known officially as the Federal Russian Law for the Purpose of Protecting Children from Information Advocating for a Denial of Traditional Family Values, was enacted in 2013, which sees locals facing fines, businesses forced to stop trading for 90 days on top of hefty fines, and foreigners and tourists risking arrest, detainment for up to 15 days before being deported, as well as financial penalties if convicted. Recognising this, a number of groups, including British MPs, have spoken out, warning of the risk of LGBT soccer fans travelling to the country for the World Cup. More than active demonstration, fans travelling have been warned against holding hands and public displays of affection, or even waving rainbow flags during the event, citing concerns of violence and so-called fan hooliganism in retaliation, which has seen a significant rise in the country in the wake of the anti-propaganda laws, rather than specific bans. Despite reported claims by the ambassador and others, there is, of course, LGBTI communities throughout Russia, albeit often underground, and they are not taking this threat laying down. Instead, despite dealing with these struggles as part of their everyday lives, Russian LGBT activists are reaching out to those travelling to the country with support. Coming Out is a St. Petersburg-based initiative established in 2008, which works for the universal recognition of human dignity and equal rights for all, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. This year, Coming Out has established a World Cup LGBT safety hotline in St. Petersburg, with similar organisations set up servicing those in Moscow and other regions across Russia. Dean Akakuri spoke with Polina from Coming Out about the hotline.
So I guess let's just talk about why it was important to set up the phone line, the access line for people.
Yes, sure. Well, during the World Cup, a lot of people obviously will be coming to our city. And a lot of people from European countries where LGBT people is much more positive, where people don't have to worry, you know, about expressing their sexual orientation or gender identity in public. So all these people will be coming here and not, you know, being prepared for the problems that they can meet here. And there are problems. Our government doesn't really do much to combat discrimination and homophobia, aggression and violence against LGBT people. And as a result, we have an atmosphere here where people can be easily beaten up on the streets for expressing themselves, for holding hands with their partners, sometimes even for just looking different, for example. And this is something that Russian LGBT people are faced with every day in Russia, in St. Petersburg, and it's something that's an increased risk for foreign tourists for coming here.
And when you've got something like the World Cup, the basic fact is you've got people coming from all around the world, so you need to make sure that there's at least a space where they know that there's access for support, should it be needed. So what exactly was it that you guys set up with this phone line?
It's a phone line that can be contacted at any time. There are volunteers that are answering the phone. They speak Russian and they speak English, of course. And then the case is, and we have lawyers and we have psychologists who will take care of the person if they met with discrimination or violence. So, for example, if somebody was robbed on the streets, we have lawyers who will immediately investigate. They will immediately look for evidence, for example, recordings of CCTV cameras, witness testimonies, things that need to be collected quickly and passed on to the police so that the police actually investigates these kind of crimes effectively. Because the police here doesn't like to investigate crimes against LGBT people. They really drag their feet. They are very reluctant to open criminal investigations, things like that. So our lawyers help the police and also put pressure on the police to do their jobs.
So this was only set up in St. Petersburg?
Right, this is only for St. Petersburg, a St. Petersburg organization. Our colleagues have a different hotline in Moscow, and then there's an organization that kind of takes care of other regions of Russia.
It's actually wonderful that you guys have gone to this kind of effort for people coming to Russia because, I mean, at the end of the day, the kind of support that you must need to have for yourself, because it doesn't sound easy living there and being supported as an LGBTI person.
Obviously, we're doing this for all people. We want everybody to be safe in our city. We love our city dearly, and we want it to be a safe place. During the World Cup, it's the foreign tourists who face more risks because they're maybe less prepared, but it's also Russian citizens. It's also Russian LGBT people who will be facing increased risks because there is a lot of energy around the soccer fans who are celebrating victories or celebrating with beer, with alcohol. So the risk of some kind of aggression and violence is increased for everybody.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9, and we're continuing Dean Arcuri's conversation with Polina from Coming Out in St. Petersburg about their World Cup LGBT safety hotline, set up to support tourists and locals facing LGBT discrimination during the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia.
From the way you make it sound, the risk is quite high across the board, and with the police not really acting on it, for someone that's coming into it, we wouldn't have much of an idea. If I was hopping on a plane and coming to watch a game, all I'd really know is I know that it's not that safe a space for LGBTI people. But if you could give a bit more detail about what it's actually like for LGBTI people there on the streets.
Yes, well, in 2013, there was a law adopted in Russia. We call it so-called propaganda of homosexuality law. just in two words, it forbids distributing information about homosexuality to minors. But this law is phrased in such a vague language that it's really not clear what is legal, what's not legal to do. So, for example, if I am walking down the street with my girlfriend holding hands, there can be a mother with a child passing by, and theoretically she can call on the policeman and say they're doing propaganda of homosexuality in front of my child. So, and we would be subsequently harassed by the police. We could be detained, we could be charged fines for that. So, on one hand, the only really way for LGBT people to stay completely in the so-called lawful space is not to express their homosexuality or their gender identity publicly at all. So basically hide. So this is one part. It's really bad for LGBT people because they feel they really need to hide to be safe. But the other part is the way that this law affects the public opinion and the way that just general public sees LGBT people, because what this law says is pretty much that information about us is harmful to children, that we are, our existence is harmful to children, and that we are kind of a second-class citizens. So what we see is that after the adoption of this law, the aggression and violence towards LGBT people really increased. And sometimes the people who are perpetrating crimes against LGBT people actually say things like there's a propaganda in our country is prohibited and these people are doing propaganda and the police doesn't do anything to stop them, so we take it upon our, so it's kind of like vigilantism, and it's pretty scary. And what we see if crimes are committed and people are afraid to go to the police because the police might harass them further. The police could, for example, take their blackmail and tell them that they will pass on the information about their sexuality to their family or to their employers. So people don't go to the police generally, but if they do, the police very rarely opens criminal investigations, for example, if there was an attack person. And what never ever happens is crimes against LGBT people are never qualified as hate crimes. So they're never really, the hate motive, if you're beaten up and who's beating you is telling you you're a faggot and they're beating you because you're a vet, that is not going to be taken into account. And this will not be seen as a hate crime. So what it leads to is kind of this atmosphere of everything is allowed against LGBT people.
I guess what I think is really great with the setting up of this support line for anyone really during the World Cup is the fact that it's letting people know that there is support that you can reach out for. There is action and pressure that can be taken in regard to the police. Because if you are visiting Russia and something does happen, you don't know what you need to do. You don't know where you need to step. So that's one of the important things of what you guys have set up.
Exactly. And we're very thankful to guys like and women like in the foreign media, like you, for spreading this information about the hotline that we have, because I have a feeling that still most of the people who are coming here don't know about this opportunity and don't know that they can feel a little more protected when they come here.
Well, anything, I mean, we're just doing a little bit, you guys are doing all the work.
But we do see that this violence is happening already, even though the World Cup just started. So we're hoping that this will be an isolated incident, but if things do happen, we are still here ready to provide help.
And it's important, I mean, even if people don't want to speak to the media or are scared about any media attention they've gotten, it's important for them to remember and know that contacting you guys isn't contacting that, to let people know that this is going on and there's support should they need it. And it's really important for people to know the support that they will need if something happens is there.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
All right, thanks for your support.
That was Dean Arcuri speaking with Polina from Coming Out St. Petersburg about the World Cup LGBT Safety Hotline. And for more information, you can go to comingoutspb.com.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
A paper published in The Lancet titled Community Level Changes in Condom Use and Uptake of HIV Pre-Exposure Prophylaxis by Gay and Bisexual Men in Melbourne and Sydney, Australia, highlighted, amongst other things, an increase in PrEP use to protect against HIV, but a decline in condom use for men who are not taking the HIV prevention drug. Last week, we reported in the findings of the report with Professor Martin Holt from the Centre of Social Research and Health at the University of Sydney. The findings showed that about 20% of all gay and bisexual men surveyed are part of the group which neither HIV negative or untested, they are not on PrEP and they don't use condoms consistently. The size of that group has not changed over the survey, despite guys who were early adopters of PrEP being part of this group. One of the related issues, which has been highlighted by a recent study, seems to be that negative men who are not on PrEP are not convinced about U equals U. That if their partner is HIV positive, with an undetectable viral load, then they are protected from HIV. Is the right knowledge about PrEP and undetectable viral loads about safer sex in 2018 really reaching those who it needs to? Are some gay and bisexual men either ignorant, complacent, or irresponsible?
Other studies that I am involved with and have led have looked at, you know, belief about the efficacy of undetectable viral load. Certainly, like 6 or 7 years ago, there was a very high degree of scepticism, particularly among HIV negative men, that undetectable viral load, you know, prevented transmission, or U equals U, as it's been now referred to, that undetectable equals uninfectious. But we've got more stronger and stronger evidence from big international studies showing that if an HIV-positive person sustains viral suppression through treatment, that they cannot pass on the virus to their sexual partners, which I just think, you know, is really amazing that we can reassure HIV-positive gay men and their partners that, you know, if they go on treatment and achieve viral suppression, they're sexually safe. However, and we've seen growing a belief in that among both HIV positive and HIV negative men, but HIV negative men have generally been a bit more sceptical. And I think this speaks to the really unpleasant complacency metaphor was raised. Some of that scepticism, I think, is based on genuine concern about HIV and that a lot of gay men are very cautious about HIV. So it takes a while for that message to be discussed and for people to explain the science and to reassure people. But I actually think it also requires for people to know that people are relying successfully on undetectable viral load. And understandably, HIV-positive gay men and their partners have not necessarily always had the best response from their HIV-negative peers in talking about their sex lives. And I think now the science is really clear that viral suppression works in preventing onward transmission. So that's a question there of community engagement and discussion and saying, you know, there are really, really strong benefits of HIV treatment and undetectable viral load, not only for a person's health, but also in preventing HIV transmission.
In your experience or from what you've seen around the world, what's the best way to reach out to change attitudes and behaviours?
Well, that's a good question. And I'm, as a researcher, but someone who works very closely with community organisations in particular, I love the fact in Australia we have a really strong network of community organisations who are engaged on the ground with people who are wrestling with these issues. And I think that peer-based response in talking, in acknowledging the issues that gay men face in their sex lives and relationships, and explaining the science in terms that make sense to people and reassuring them that they are doing the right thing, that is really effective here. But it takes time and it takes investment. And what I know is more of a challenge in other countries where there are fewer resources perhaps invested in HIV epidemics is building and then sustaining that kind of community ownership over the response. It's not the only way to respond, but it seems to me just so vitally important here. In order to translate that dry technical scientific knowledge into something that people can embrace in their everyday life and feel secure about. It's really difficult to talk about research and science about gay men, HIV and sex in the public domain without mainstream media using what they think is a catchy hook, but which we often experience as quite stigmatizing. Whenever we do research about gay men, you know, negative gay men are still quite scared about HIV and really don't want to get it and do want to take reasonable steps to protect themselves. from it. That said, I also think they know it's not a death sentence anymore. So, you know, it's really hard to put this stuff out there. I think, you know, we've done this extraordinary work. You know, nobody else internationally has kind of data like this to help us respond.
So those figures of, I think it's 20% of guys who are receptive and not on PrEP and either so that's not changing though.
So what's basically happened is the change is you see the rise in PrEP users, and all of them report at least some condomless sex, and you see a decline in consistent condom users. So basically for those, that top category, that, you know, these guys not on PrEP reporting condomless sex, to remain unchanged, what it basically means is it's a net effect. So some of the guys who were having condomless sex but weren't on PrEP, so the guys in that red and orange segment at the top of that little graph, have gone into the PrEP use category. So that was the targeting. You know, let's get the guys who are, you know, at risk, let's get them on PrEP. But at the same time, some of the guys who reported consistent condom use are now having some condomless sex. So they've kind of replaced them, basically. That's kind of what's happened to keep that segment the same size. And some of it might be opportunity because, like, for example, as we know in Melbourne, there are now a hell of a lot more PrEP users out and about, particularly in the inner city. So guys who had been fairly diligent condom users may now be presented with situations where they can have sex without condoms because the guy's their potential partner. Is basically what's happened is some of the guys who were having condom sex before have now gone on PrEP, but also some of the guys who were consistently using condoms before have now stopped using them consistently. That's kind of why we've got that outcome. What do we say to younger gay men as they now enter this very different sexual field? I think that's pretty critical, actually, where we're saying they need to be aware that there are a range of things they can do, but doing nothing is not an option. Like, they need to acquaint themselves with something that they're comfortable doing, or a couple of things, and be confident about doing that. And, you know, that's not easy to ask most very young people straight away, but, you know, that's what we want them to do. I still have this slight doubt, and of course it's survey data. Like, it's like, you know, thousands of people. I don't know individually what all of them are doing in every situation. I still have this question and slight concern, which I don't want to exaggerate, but I have this concern about people just going, oh, I just don't need to use condoms as often now because, you know, with everybody else on PrEP and everything, and it's just less of a risk now for me or my partner, you know, and if he doesn't suggest condoms, then it probably means he's on PrEP, but I don't need to check. Like, you know, we want people to do a bit of checking before they tell themselves that everything's okay.
When you're having these conversations, guys, do you need to be honest with yourselves and think about really what's going on? And
has he really told you he's on PrEP, or have you just told yourself he is? And have you actually even checked at all? Like, you know, do you know what his status is? Are you sure that both of you are clear about what you're doing to prevent HIV transmission before you have the sex you want? Like, PrEP users know what they're doing now, you know, and are feeling increasingly confident about it. So we would like to see a bit more of that confidence among everybody else, and not just a fingers crossed approach.
That was Ian Muchamore with Professor Martin Holt at the Centre for Social Research and Health at the University of New South Wales.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
And that's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. Don't forget to follow us on social media, at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook, and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, it is your stories that matter. So get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom Morgan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.